new location. I don't know when exactly the date yet, but I'll let you know. And we'll have a dedication sometime in October. We're hoping that all of you can come. And we'll do it like 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something so everybody can be there. So we are very excited. But I'm more excited about what God is doing in your lives. I see a difference in many of you. I see that there is more joy. I see greater faith. I see that you've endured and you're still standing after the storm. So I'm so grateful to God that you're still here. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, you're not defeated. There's no way. You're not defeated. You have weathered the storm. Praise God. Thank God for the intervals of sunshine. Because you know how those weather systems come, one after another. So we're thanking God for the high pressure right now, aren't we? The sunshine, the beautiful day. I want to share with you a word this morning. It's a follow-up of what I preached in the East last Sunday. Pastor Greg was here and gave us a powerful word. I love that whole concept of the dips that we go through. He was laying it out, man. Disobedience dip. I went, ooh, that's, I've been there. Then that dum-dum dip. I thought that was real good. I thought, man, okay, dum-dum dip. And the divine dip. Boy, that was great. What a great message. And then, of course, his account of what had happened to him. When you see that 911, hear the calls and the testimonies of those that raised him up. And, wow, is that a miracle or what? And God's going to use that, I believe, all over the world. I've been encouraging Pastor Greg to write a book and get it all together and do an extensive teaching on it because I believe God's going to take him all over the world with that ministry. So we're so grateful for them. And we miss them already. We got a chance to spend just a little bit of time with them. And they're back in Florida. And Bobby's back in Haiti this morning. You heard about her mother that got in that automobile accident. Did you hear about that? Excuse me. They were in our flatbed truck, and a semi-tractor trailer didn't stop. And they were parked, and bam, hit them in the back. Two of our children from the orphanage flew out of the flatbed, and the driver and Bobby's mother, Trudy, were injured, we thought, severely. Matter of fact, she was unconscious for nearly a half hour. And couldn't move, couldn't walk. We're going to fly her back, emergency, to the States. And then the church starts praying. Hallelujah. Thank God for prayer, right? Amen. Well, I just want to report, she went back to Destiny Village that next day. And she is up and walking around, sore, but she's giving God all the glory. Amen. And our driver, hallelujah, he's walking around too. Our truck, we buried it. We need another $30,000 to get a new truck because it's gone. But thank God you can replace trucks, right? But thank God he raised her up. We're so grateful for that. So last Sunday, I ministered out of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. And I talked about how Paul identified the fact that we, prior to being a Christian, were walking under a different influence. Now, my little granddaughter, Lency, is learning how to walk. Every once in a while, she'll get courage. She'll stand up. She falls back down and goes to what's familiar to her. She crawls. But she doesn't crawl on her knees. She crawls on her feet and her hands. It looks like a little spider, you know, going across the room. Did you know that every child, thank God for this, is born with walk in them? All they have to do is develop. And before you know it, they're upright and they're walking. Did you know when you're born again, you have walk put in you? No, I'm not talking about the natural walk. I'm talking about the admonitions of Paul, who said in Galatians, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So you have walk in you. You can walk in the Spirit. The problem is we have to leave what's familiar with us, what's comfortable to us. Have you heard Christians say this when they're challenged with something? Well, I'm just not comfortable with that, Pastor. You know, can I introduce you to the kingdom of God? This is not a kingdom of comfort. If you're going to serve God, you're going to be uncomfortable. Look at somebody and say, well, I've been there a couple of times. Come on, have you been uncomfortable? You know, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. Of course, it's an uncomfortable kingdom because it runs against the grain of what is normal. But I use the illustration of a person who is blind can live in their apartment and walk around that apartment unguided. And the reason for that is because they become so familiar with the arrangement of their life. They don't need anyone to guide them through. They walk about, miss the coffee table, go right to the refrigerator. They know where the cups are in the cupboards. They have become so familiar. And that's what Paul said. Go back to Ephesians 2:2. I want to just read that. You had it up, I believe, on the screen. Paul was referring to that once we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. I'll leave that scripture up there, please. Because walking there talks about living habitually on a path that is never deviated from. That's how we live. Now notice, this person that's blind lives in a path that is never altered. If you came in and moved their furniture around, you would be doing a disservice to them, wouldn't you? You would trip them up. This scripture says that until we were born again, we walked in this world like a blind person. The system was so predictable, and we had such a habitual lifestyle that we followed the same path, same reactions to everything that occurred in our life. It didn't matter what. We were under a course or a pathway that we couldn't deviate from. Now notice something. Take that same blind person and take them in the 5th and Manhattan in New York. Now they're unfamiliar with their surroundings. What do they need? They need a guide. They need somebody to help them navigate their way because they've never gone this way before. You see, the course or according to means under a control and a dominant force. There is a control and a dominant force in this world that is keeping us on a habitual pathway of how we live every day. And it's according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, it's according to, and listen to this, systems of the world. We live our life according to the arrangement of the furniture in our apartment, the systems, education, politics, business, entertainment, movies, media. It doesn't matter what the system is. It's under the control and the dominance of the spirit of this age that has mapped out for us how we are to live our life. So we don't, you know, we think we have freedom, but in actuality, we're living in an apartment and there's not even any lights on, and we think we can go where we want to go. Peter was confronted when they were in the middle of a storm. They were all in the boat, and Jesus said, come. Peter had to leave his normal routine, his normal pathway of living life, and walk in the Spirit. In other words, he had to walk in a realm that he had never been before. I believe the Spirit of God, please hear me this morning. I've really labored over this message this week because I really believe it's a word from God. As we prepare for persecution that's coming to the Christian, as we prepare for continued assault on America and the devaluation of the dollar, and of all the turmoil worldwide, as we prepare, the church has got to get stronger. We've got to begin to make a choice to get out of the boat. We're going to walk out of the boat and walk in the Spirit, right? Because we know when we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to carry out the desires of the flesh. The flesh is going to reap corruption, but the Spirit is going to reap eternal life. So we know that if we're going to get out of the boat, we're going to have to continue to have faith in God and walk in His Word. Peter actually walked on the Word come. John 6:63 says, my words are spirit and they're life. So you and I can walk in the Word. Here lies the problem of the modern church. You know, when I got this revelation, I said, God, I've been serving you all these years, and I've not seen this. I really have never understood it. Now, some of you may have already advanced beyond where I'm at, and I can understand that. But I think a majority of us have not seen what I'm about to say. We as a church are busy praying about our problems. And we're asking God to fix our problems. So our prayers consist of, Lord, do something with my husband. Have you wives ever prayed that? Okay. Lord, do something with my money. Lord, do something with my physical health. Lord, we pray about our problems. But did you know in the book of Revelation, it does not say, and the problems of this world have become the problems of his Christ. It doesn't say that. It says, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of his Christ. In other words, we need to be praying more about the systems we operate in rather than the problems we're experiencing because we're in the wrong apartment. The reason why you've got the problem you may have in your life today is not because God's not been good. It's because you're operating according to a world system whose consequences birth these kinds of continued problems. However, if you were to transfer into the system of the kingdom, all of a sudden your problem would vanish and you'd begin to experience the goodness of God. Here's the problem with the modern church. We want God to bless us. We want the blessings of God while we're still attached to our carnal appetites of the systems of this world. And we can't understand why God doesn't do it. So I want to share with you this morning a couple of thoughts that I think are going to help us. Going back to Ephesians 2 and 2, look at it again. The word walked means habitually lives and functions in a prescribed manner. That's what the word walked means. The word according to in that verse means this: a force or a dominating, controlling element in your life. The word course means systems or institutions in society. Things like education, fashion, business, politics. It doesn't really matter what system it is. But if it has its origin in the world, that controlling, authoritative power uses that system to cause us to live our lives. So we're living according to those standards and systems that have been introduced to us since the time of our birth. So what we have to do is stop praying about our problems and start asking God to integrate his system into our life. Now, a lot of us are going to have difficulty with this because we have become so familiar with the apartment we live in, we don't want anybody messing with the furniture. Because once you're taken out of this realm of convenience and comfortability, you're going to need a guide to get across the street. That's called walking in the Spirit. It's much easier for you to live the way you've always lived. But remember, that is not the kingdom of God. So what we've got to do is we've got to change our mentality. For example, the economy of God is based on the tithe of your income. See, right there, I've lost about 80% of you. And you don't agree with that system. The system you're in says, get all you can get. I worked hard and it's mine. Besides, that's in the law. Did you know that tithing was introduced 400 and some odd years prior to the giving of the law? So now your leg has been cut out from underneath you. Let's continue on because I don't want to mess with you this morning. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your apartment, from everything that's familiar to you, from the house you've been living in, to a land that I'm going to show you. Now that's not exactly what it says, does it? But you get the idea? All right, let's read it again. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. In other words, God could not introduce Abraham to the kingdom until he made a choice to leave his systems. Notice what he said. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And all the families of the earth, you shall be blessed. Now, this particular scripture talks to us about Abraham separating himself from everything that was familiar to him. It talks about operating in this new system. And notice verse 8 of Genesis 12. The first thing that Abraham did, please follow along. The first thing that Abraham did when he went into a new system is he moved from there to the mountains east of Bethel. He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. Read the rest of it with me. Ready? There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. The kingdom systems will never work without established communion with God. If you have not built an altar, if you've not established intimacy with God through the word and prayer, it doesn't matter how hard you try, how educated you become to integrate God's system into your life, it won't work. Now, this is the first step that Abraham took. The place God told Abraham to go had to be established through an altar. I just want to encourage you. I was encouraged this morning because Abraham's a father of faith, right? Amen? Amen? Did you know that Abraham lost his faith? Because as soon as he moved into Bethel, built the altar before God, a famine hit the ground. A famine came and challenged Abraham's loyalty and commitment to kingdom systems. Now follow me, church. Abraham established communion with God. Abraham offered sacrifice. God answered through fire. There was intimacy and communion. All of a sudden in the natural, what happened? Famine came. Scarcity and lack. Abraham looked around and went, oh my goodness, the only thing I know to do is self-preservation. So he moved to Egypt. But notice when he went to Egypt, he left his altar. He left his altar and he went to Egypt, right? What happened in Egypt? Do you remember the story? He faked out the dude with his wife, saying it was her sister and all those kind of things. And we know, though, that while he was in Egypt, something happened to him and his nephew, Lot. Did you know Lot was with him this whole time? Let me give you an example between two kinds of Christians today. There are both of us are being called out of what's been familiar to us in the systems of this world. Abraham built the altar. You'll never read in Scripture Lot ever did. Say it with me. Lot never built an altar. Now, that's significant because what we're going to find about Lot's life was as a result of trying to integrate the kingdom systems into a life that had no communion with God. He wanted the blessings of God integrated into his what? Carnal appetites. How many know that unless you have communion with God, your flesh will reign? Lot failed to build an altar. His flesh was reigning. Abraham built an altar. The Spirit was reigning. Now, all of us are going to be tempted. We're going to have falls. We're going to have mistakes. I've done it. You've done it. Abraham did it. Thank God. I'm glad I found something about Abraham. Because I thought, Lord, he's perfect. And God said, no, he wasn't all that perfect, so I'm going to let you off the hook. I thought, praise God. So I really have used this scripture this week to my benefit, okay? And I think you could do the same thing. But notice, the place God told Abraham to go seemed it would no longer meet his needs. If I could, I would say, Selah, I would sit down, lay on the floor, and say, let's take a nap on that thought. Because many of us come into the kingdom systems, then all of a sudden the hot water tank breaks, all of a sudden our body gets sick, all of a sudden our children rebel, all of a sudden this happens or this happens, and we look around and we think, God, I'm integrating in your system into my life, and it's not working. What Abraham decided to do was the place God called him to wouldn't fulfill his need. See, some of you have tried to tithe, but the moment you did, you couldn't pay your bills. The reason why you couldn't pay your bills is because you're trying to tithe living economically in a system of the world. You love debt. You believe credit cards are for your advantage. And all those wealthy financiers are so happy you owe all that money. Now, I know this is not comfortable this morning, but just pay a little attention with me, okay? Because I'm preaching to me. I mean, you think I'm any different? Absolutely not. So, although he returned from Egypt, a spirit of the system infected his personality. Abraham went to Egypt. Lot went with him. How do I know that? Because in Genesis 13:2, it said that Abraham came back with camels and horses and goats and donkeys and gold and silver and all these riches, and it also says, and Lot also. So Lot went with him. Now remember, Lot never built an altar. Abraham did. Abraham came back. Notice the first thing that Abraham did when he left the world system and came back to God's system. He built an altar. He went right back to the altar at Bethel. And he realized, what a fool I've been. I need to get back to God's way of doing things. Look at it with me in Genesis 13, verse 2 and verse 5. Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver, and in gold. Verse 5, Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents. Abraham got out from under kingdom influence. Lot was never under kingdom influence. He just attended Abraham's church.
Come on.
Abraham went back into the kingdom system after he had failed miserably. Lot just went with him. Now, how do I know that experience in the Egypt infected Abraham's household? Look at verse 3 and 4, Genesis 13. He went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called in the name of the Lord. Lot never did. Verse 7. And there was what? There was what? Between who? Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. In other words, Abraham's banker and Lot's banker were having contention. Why were they having contention? Because they were in a spirit of greed. Lot wanted more pasture land. So his herdsmen were arguing with Abraham. Hey, get off my grass. That's my grass. That's my money. Those are my possessions. You're going to starve out my animals. Now remember what God said to Abraham when he called him to this place? I have given you a land that is flowing with milk and honey. I've given you a place where you're going to be blessed. Everyone's going to bless you, and you're going to bless the nations of the earth. Remember that? How did Lot surmise and Abraham's herdsmen surmise that there wasn't enough room for the two of them to exist? Because Lot was operating in the system of this world. It means get all you can get before everybody else can get it. Spiritual contention arose. Supremacy, greed, over who or what would ultimately reign. Abraham, however, defeated the spirit. Now, we're going to get into it in just a minute. Remember what happened. They separated. Abraham said, you know what? Pick out a place for you. Wherever you go, I'll go the opposite way. Lot chose for himself. Everybody say, chose for himself. That's what how he lives. He doesn't let God choose for him. He chooses for himself. That's just indicative of how he's lived his life. That's indicative of how many Christians live their life. Want the blessings of God, but yet want to revel in the carnal appetites of this system. That's just the way it is. Because we've never learned how to what? Walk in the Spirit. By now, we ought to be walking in the Spirit, but we're crawling around in the Spirit like little Lindsay. And it's like, come on, you guys, get upright, start walking in the Spirit. Stop relying on what you know that you're comfortable with, and that is walking in the natural. So we revert back to the natural systems all the time. But let me tell you something. When persecution comes to America against Christians, real Christians, and it's coming, did you know you have more freedom as a Muslim in America to go and do and pray as you will than as a Christian? You're not aware of that yet? You will be. And if you haven't been confronted with that, you will be. Did you know at the gay rights movement, did you know they have more liberty and freedom and less persecution than you or I as Christian? Are you aware of that yet? If not, you will be. I'm telling you, church, this is an opportunity for us to adjust our systems. This is a period of grace that we can begin to look at how we're living. So, Sodom was Lot's choice. Now, we're going to share with just a couple of minutes the progression or digression of his life, where he moved towards Sodom, dwelt near Sodom, and then sat at the gates of Sodom. Some of us have already been turned. Notice what Lot had to do to go to the plains of Sodom. He had to turn his back on the altar. He turned his back on communion and dependency on God for what he could see. What he could see became more important, and what he could see and what he could possess became more valuable to him than his relationship with God. He was turned towards Sodom. Now, we know what happened is that Sodom came under attack by five kings. Lot and his family were captured. Abraham heard that they had been captured by the systems of this world. I need about 6 weeks to preach on this, so I'm giving you just a little summary. Each one of those kings represent a system of this world that came against Sodom that captured Lot. See, if you put yourself in the wrong place, you think you're going to dwell there securely. But the facts are, you're like a mouse on the trap trying to reach the cheese. You think it's yours for the grabbing, but as soon as you move it, the trap closes. We'll get to that another Sunday. But here's what happens. The word comes to Abraham, and Abraham goes, oh, wow, I got to get all my 200 guys, and let's go kick five kings where it hurts and get Lot back. They go and they beat and defeat the kings. They release Sodom. It's interesting what happens in Genesis 14. I hope you know this story well enough because I'm not taking time to read it. They get to Genesis 14 and the king comes to him and says, "We want to bless you. We want to bless you for everything you've done. We want to give you money. We want to give you garments. We want to give you houses. We want to bless you. We want to give you a plaque. We'll give you a gold watch. You the man, Abraham. You the man." Go to Genesis 14 on the screen. What did Abraham say? He said, "No, I don't think I want your stuff. Blessed be Most High, God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. Now, before you get hyperventilating about this tithing thing, let me just help you. Because Abraham knew that spirit that brought the contention in the first place was over money. Now, the systems of this world were about to bless him with stuff. He said, "I don't want your stuff, lest you or anybody would say, you made me rich. I'm not doing it. My God is able to meet all my needs." That's what he said. "I am persuaded. He is able." So what did he do? He said, "I take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, that I may not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I've made Abraham rich." He said, "I know what that spirit will do. I refuse. That spirit will destroy my relationship with my altar. I can't afford that." And then he gave the tithe to Melchizedek, which was a type of Christ. If you're not tithing, you are a candidate for Sodom. That's a strong statement. I know that's a strong statement. Don't get mad at me. Tolerate me. I'm saying that, not that you will begin doing the practices of Sodom. Man, I need more time. Did you know that Lot never participated in their sin? Come on, he never participated in it. His kids never did. He just lived in it. When the angels appeared to him but told him to get out of it, what did he say? They thought they were joking, that there was going to be judgment on the systems. They said, "You need to get out." We'll never get to it, but remember Lot's wife looked back? She couldn't let loose of the system. Jesus said in Luke 17, remember Lot's wife. He was teaching us something about this day that you and I are living in. And it's not just about tithing. It's about operating in the systems of the world. Did you know the kingdom has a system for family? Y'all didn't know that, did you? You thought a family was between two willing partners. Doesn't have to be a woman, doesn't have to be a man. It could be two men, could be two women. They don't have to be born again to be married. They don't even have to be married. Bless God, they don't want to live together, have babies. That's up to them. Their family. We've redefined family by the system of this world. And we're operating in it. Got trouble coming to church asking God, "Help me with my family problems." No, pray to change the system you're in. It doesn't dawn on us that we're in a wrong system. Pastor, I'd tithe if I could, but I can't afford to tithe. Sorry for you. Start with 1%. Leave God for 2% next month. Get to 3%, but just don't sit there under the system. Repent of your lust. Materialism. So, what happened? There are many who love Jesus, but permit their identity to be defined by the world. It's an influence of the system. Genesis 13:11 says this. Lot chose for himself the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Verse 13, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Lot justified living in a world system because his heart was fixed to money. His heart was fixed on material things. So he tolerated wickedness so he can keep his stuff. He didn't participate in their wickedness. When the men of that city wanted to have sex with those two men that were actually angels, they beat down the door of Lot's house. What did Lot do? He said, here, take my daughters, who are both virgins. So he had two young women in his house who had not been promiscuous. They were all righteous living for God, but they were living in the wrong system. You all love God. I'm persuaded of that. I love God, but am I living in the right system? Am I living in the right mentality of kingdom? Or have I allowed the world to become so influential in my life, I don't even know I'm living in Sodom? It was exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. So what happened? The spirit of the material things, of the influencing Lot's life, unchecked by an altar. Church, the beginning place is read your Bible every day and pray. Statistics bear out a vast majority of the born-again church never reads their Bible, never prays, except at meals or when they're in trouble, where we want God to fix our problems. There's no altar influence. You get people to fill up a stadium for healing, but to say we're going to pray, it's like, well, I don't want to pray. It doesn't change anything anyway. I still got problems. Maybe we're praying for the wrong thing. Jesus said, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth, in us, as it is in heaven. God, change my marriage to a kingdom marriage. God, that's my prayer. You have to change my husband. I'm praying now in Jesus' name that you change my marriage into a kingdom institution. Show me, Holy Spirit, wherever it is that I'm not lined up to your word to be a kingdom husband or to be a kingdom wife. And I will make that adjustment. And I know based on your word that if I walk in the Spirit, I'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. And I know that you're going to bless that. God is not answering our prayer, problem prayers in the church. He's saying, you want me to fix you. Why would you want me to fix you? Because all you're doing is going back into the system that'll produce another problem. You'll be back here next week. Do you ever notice that some people come for prayer with the same problems week after week, year after year? They never change. Because they're still living in the same system. If you tell them to go home, get married, repent, tell your boyfriend either get saved or he's gone. Yeah, but I don't want to be lonely. I know about being lonely. I understand that. You know, how am I going to pay my bills? I mean, I understand that too. But we're going to have to come to a point where we say, you know what? I'm going to live for God. And if it costs me my head, then I'm not backing down because I'm going to lose my head. Because I read the Bible. And the Bible says those that lose their head are going to be blessed. Their prayers are rising up into the presence of God and are going to wear a robe of righteousness. See, we've got to begin to see the kingdom picture. We've got to begin to see the kingdom picture. Genesis 13, 12. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. He turned that direction away from Bethel. What direction have you turned? See, do you remember in science class in junior high school, it shows the orbits of the planets. Have you ever seen that? Where it's, was it Mercury? What's next? Venus, Earth. Well, there it is, look. Here's the situation. The sun represents the systems of this world. You may be here today as Pluto, but you're still in its orbit. You get what I'm saying? The gravitational pull of that system is still determining your direction. I don't want anything determining my pathway but His Spirit. And it's time to break off of that pull and that attraction of the things of this world. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I hope to have the spiritual blessings of God and the carnal advantages of union with the systems of this world at the same time. It doesn't work. I want to break out of the orbit. Now, this is a big challenge for me because I have lived and been dominated and controlled by these systems all my life. So have you. But Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, ye shall receive power to be my witnesses. And we Pentecostals or charismatics or whatever you want to refer to those of the full gospel basis have used that scripture to begin to speak in a language that we call heavenly, and we're shundying, hundying, tying our bow tying, living with our tent pitched towards Sodom. So there must be something else besides just a language. There must be a real power that will get us out of that trajectory or orbit around the system of this world. I want to experience that. I want us to see a community of faith that's not relegated by the systems of this world. Not how we raise our kids. It's not how we relate to one another in marriage. That's not how we or what we do with our finances. That's not our priority. That's not our belief. The brazen testimony of the Muslim women in this community that live next door to you and down at your mall and at Crocker Park and at your Target that walk through there, and they got their veils on and they're walking around like, we are of Allah. You don't like it? I mean, they're just right out there. And the world systems are afraid of them. Afraid of them. Recently in France, they reported mass numbers of Muslims got together and began to pray in the streets. Shut down all of Paris because there were so many of them. They knelt in the streets and began to pray to Allah. There was nothing they could do about it. Sheer numbers of them. We don't want to call them terrorists anymore. We're intimidated. It's not politically correct. We don't want to We don't want to acknowledge the fact that there is a madman dictator in Iran about to destroy Israel and destroy America. In case you don't know it, Islam believes you deserve death and your children. And if given the opportunity, we'll do it. And we're sitting back singing Kumbaya, cooking hot dogs? Are you kidding? I'm telling you, church, this is the time when we have got to begin to trust the Lord to take us out of our lifestyle that we're comfortable with and begin to walk in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that in Genesis 14:12, Abraham's brother's son who dwelt in Sodom, his goods, and departed. He not only pitched his tent toward it, now he's dwelling right in the middle of it. You go to Genesis 19:1, it says that they found Lot, the two angels found Lot sitting at the gate. The gate was a place of authority. Lot had elevated himself into the authority of the world systems. He knew them so well, he would teach on them. Just what you do. You know, I got to quit here because I got so much in me to talk about. And thank you for, you know, allowing me to share it. But I just want you to understand that our children are being raised in a church that isn't really convinced yet. I just want you to know that. How else could you explain a young man growing up in church, going to youth group, doing the whole thing, now living with his girlfriend, not married, and participating in the things of the world? He said, well, that spirit of the world, you know, it's pretty powerful. You know what's happened? The systems of this world encroach in the church and steal our kids one by one. They come in and they grab hold of them, and they pull them into the systems of this world. And they do it through media, entertainment, come on, education, business, politics. It doesn't matter what system. Here's what God's called us to do. And I challenge the Studio 7 age. I want to challenge you because you're the ones that are willing to make change more readily than some of us older people. Because some of us older people can't stand change. We get nervous. We just do. That's just the way it is. So you all have to begin to get in the kingdom system and on covert missions. Go into the systems of this world. And instead of them coming and stealing us, you need to go in there and rescue every young person, mom, dad, out of the systems of this world and bring them into the kingdom of God. That's the call of God upon the church. Hallelujah. Genesis 19:14, when Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law about, hey, we got to get out of here. There's judgment coming on this system. He said, get up, get out of this place. The Lord's going to destroy this city. You know what his sons-in-law said? You're joking. Come on. It's a joke. By the Spirit of the Lord, with as much humility as I can muster up and compassion, I guarantee you, judgment is coming upon the systems of this world. Laugh at me if you want. Brush me off. Classify me as just nothing but an old preacher that doesn't know what's going on. Say what you want. Judgment is coming on these systems. Not the people, but on the systems. And if you've determined to be under the systems, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms is Christ and of his Lord. I beg you today to pray and ask the Lord, where, O God, have I not built an altar? Where, O God, have I allowed materialism to become prominent in my life, the force that drives me? We as a church have only got this opportunity of a short window. He told Lot, get out! Get out! And they ran for their life. And here's Lot's wife, trying to get out of it, but just judgment came that quick. And Jesus in Luke 17 said, remember Lot's wife. I'm not here to argue about pillar of salt, and I'm not here to argue about all that, but I'm going to tell you this. Today is a day of salvation. He who hesitates will be lost. Jesus said, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. The word look back in the Greek means to lag behind or to return back to a system after you've left it. Some of us have done that. We went back. And Jesus said, don't go back. Follow me, and I will make you disciples. I will make you fishers of all men. I conclude today with one question. If you knew Jesus Christ was coming back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., would you conduct the rest of your day any differently? I don't know. But if you would, that's an indication that perhaps we should. Let's pray. Father, you know how I've labored over this message. I know you gave it to me, because I couldn't think of something myself like this. But the beauty of this message is that Abraham went back to Bethel. And I pray now, Father, that those under the hearing of my voice would come back to Bethel, because there's still time. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Pastor Troy, would you ask those who need to give their life to Jesus? Come on, nobody looking around. And give your life to Christ today in his kingdom. Amen.
Right there where you sit this morning, you have the opportunity, if you don't know Christ, to turn the kingdoms of this world into his kingdoms. Right there where you sit this morning, if you don't know him, as he was described to you today, this life-giving force that's whispering in your ear even now, all you have to do is call upon the name of Jesus, and you can be saved. So Christians everywhere are praying right now that you will make this decision, that today will be the first day of the rest of your life. So right there where you sit, why don't you just slip your hand up to Jesus? Say, that's me. I need to know him that way. a need to know Him that way. Hands are going up everywhere. Christians, continue to pray. Don't allow the enemy to steal from you anymore. Don't live in torment anymore. You've been tormented your whole life. And maybe you're watching by the internet right now, and you want to make that decision as well. Just close your eyes if you're watching by internet. Raise your hand towards Jesus and call on His name. And He's going to save you. He's going to rescue you. One last time, if that's you and you need to make that decision, just raise your hand. Come on, nobody's looking. It's just you and Jesus. He's whispering a love song to you of eternity. Amen. I believe what needs to happen today, church, is we need to bring the kingdom. Make these kingdoms serve His kings. In order for that to happen, what we have is an altar experience. And so what we're going to do is open the altars now. And so, altar ministers, if I can get some to come right in here in the middle, because there were a lot who made the decision for Christ this morning. There were many hands that went up. And so if I can get just the altar ministers to come here. And if you prayed, if you raised your hand, and you want to be born again, and you prayed that prayer, you called upon the name, just want you to come and find one of these altar ministers here. If you need prayer this morning for healing in your body, if you have a family situation, anything that's pressing on you, maybe you want to learn more about the gift of speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, these right here want to pray for you. They want to minister to you. And perhaps maybe you just want to take a trip to the altar. We want to invite you to do that this morning. So can we all stand this morning? And as we close in prayer, I just give you the opportunity to move from your seats and come forward. And on the way out, when we leave on the way out, the ushers are going to stand at the door. This is pretty important. Many of us have been captivated by the world, have been trapped in its systems. And we have to pay attention to where we're going. So you have to sow towards your intention. You have to have focused energy on your goal. And sowing is how you break the bondage of materialism. That's how Abraham did it. And that's how you and I can do it this morning. Don't forget your tithe and your offering that belongs to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You're speaking so clearly about how You requiring us to allow ourselves to be the temple that You flow through, and allowing Your kingdoms to be established in this earth, and to tear down the kingdoms of this world with Your lordship. And so we just submit ourselves today as the church of the living God. We declare to the powers and principalities that are trying to manipulate and pervert our purpose in the earth, we declare them powerless, we render them powerless, and we declare that we are Your hands and Your feet for the earth. And we are militant about our assignment. Forgive us. Forgive us for not building altars when we should have. We give You praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The altars are open. If you just need to take a trip to the altars are open.